This morning, I want to start off by just saying a word of appreciation. Wednesday night, I had an opportunity to do online Zoom and do a class here, and just the discussion and the honest interaction was just so encouraging. I want to encourage you to come in the middle of your week, join us online, or come out here to the building and be a part of a class. More than that, be a part of each other's lives. I really think that we have come to a place where we have forgotten what a joy it is to be together. And I pray this morning as we interact with one another, you will remember that. And it will draw you back to a relationship with one another in the middle of the week. Let that be an encouragement for you. I also want to say that this Wednesday, then I finished those two classes and then I got an opportunity to go back to the office where our elders had invited a couple deacons over, and we were talking about some plans for 2022. And you already know this, but I need to say it again. We are blessed with some wonderful elders, right? I am just amazed at the continual love and desire for our congregation, their focus and attention towards stepping into whatever is coming our way. And we've gone through a lot of stuff recently, but they continue to look for ways that how do we stay together as a family? How do we continue to understand what God's will and desire is for our life? How do we put this into practice? How do we reach out and make a difference in our community? And then our deacons, you probably don't know this, I won't give out their secret, but they've been meeting together Saturday mornings, having breakfast with one another, just encouraging each other to step back into their roles in ministries. They're redefining things. Starting in 2022, Lord willing, we're going to have this ministry fair, just an opportunity for them to lay out some of the ways that we can get involved in ministry. And I just left Wednesday evening so filled. And I just want to compare that to what you did on Wednesday night. Did you go to bed with a great joy and enthusiasm in your heart? If you didn't, then come be a part of brothers and sisters who really have a desire for God's kingdom to shine and to grow. With that in mind, over the next few weeks, as we wrap up this year, and what a year it has been, I want to draw our attention to God. And this series of three lessons is entitled, God Is. We're going to be talking about the real nature of God. I think in this season of our world, we get an opportunity to speak about Christ's birth. And the power and the purpose that is in that story is so significant that strangers on hearing and seeing Christ are bowed into worship. It really should change the way that we think about this, what we call nativity scene. The things that we roll off our tongues, the reason for the season, and we just roll on with the regular mundane stuff of this world, the marketing. But when we hear that story of Christ and His birth, it should do something to our hearts, to our minds. But we should also then see that it's not just this baby, Christ, that was here and left, and that's the end of the story, but God is so much greater than that. And there's a full story of who God really is. And today I want you to hear that God is approachable. Because our world sometimes continues to give this message that God is far off, or God is dead, or God doesn't care. He created things and He stepped back. He's not aware of the struggles and the challenges that you're going through. He doesn't seem to be involved. He doesn't have the power to participate in our daily lives. This morning, I want to challenge that point of view by helping us to see that God is approachable. God desires for His creation to come and be with Him. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Luke chapter 14, talking about that great banquet where the master sends out his servants and he invites all in to come and have this feast. It's a beautiful picture of who God really is. I ran across the story of Dr. Jackson. He's an elder at one of the churches down in Texas. And he shares a story that while he was working in London as a diplomatic liaison, one day there came a visitor to their office. And it made quite a stir as this visitor came in and came into his office. And I want to read this as he wrote it. "My secretary appeared at the door and said, 'You have a guest.' She stepped back and revealed this gentleman dressed in uniform and carrying a mace. And he pounded on the floor 3 times. Then he unfurled this scroll and he began to read. 'Elizabeth II, the grace of God, of the United Kingdom, of the Great Britain, of the Northern Ireland, and of her realms and territories, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith, commands the Lord Chamberlain to invite Dr. and Mrs. Don Jackson to an evening reception at Buckingham Palace on Wednesday, the 26th, November 1980, at 7:30 p.m., evening dress with decorations.' He pounds his mace 3 more times, steps back, and leaves the scene. Dr. Jackson then says that another gentleman, dressed finely, comes into his office and then spends about an hour or so educating him on how he is to address the Queen, her family, and all those in attendance. Goes so far to say that they instructed that I should dress with British white tie and tails. He instructed me also on how my wife was to dress, a full-length gown with a high neck and white gloves all the way to the elbow. For about 15 or 20 minutes, he instructed me on subjects appropriate to discuss with the Queen and her royal family, how to address each of the family members. He gave me a book with guidelines on how to meet Her Majesty and how to behave in her presence. Later, I asked, why were we told exactly how to dress and what subjects we might speak about? And he answered, because that's what the Queen wants. Here is this invitation of a queen to a royal feast, just like what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. And I want to use that as an illustration of how God might be presented. Sometimes we become so familiar with God, so familiar with the invitation as Christ followers, that we kind of disregard or lower it down. But day after day, nature sings His praises. The sun beckons and brings light to all the world as a way of giving radiance. The psalmist said, if the clouds were flags, let them just proclaim His glory. We've been given this wonderful invitation to approach the throne of God. But I want us to recognize that a couple of things, that approachable does not necessarily mean that both parties are equal. In this case in particular, he was commanded or requested to come to this dinner event. He was told and explicitly told what to wear and what to speak about. There was a high priority of position, a hierarchy of who is in power and who is in subject to that power. When we're talking about God, I want you to hear this message of approachability this morning. But I also want us to recognize that this does not mean that we are on any level equal to God. But the blessing and the power of an Almighty inviting us into His throne room is something of a unique blessing to our lives. The Queen of England came to visit the United States many years ago, and as she did, she was touring a variety of places, and one day they took her to this woman's shelter. She involves herself in this conversation with this one young lady whose life had just gone terribly wrong, but was now getting back on track. And so they exchanged this moment of interaction. And as the queen was getting up to leave, this woman, who was so appreciative of this time, of the blessing of this interaction, reaches out to give her a hug. And as the cameras zoom in, the queen just recoils back. You don't hug the queen. In the news around our country, the conversation and discussion many years ago was, how distant, how cold, what kind of relationship is that which you can't even hug? On the other side of the sea, there was a conversation of what kind of people do not recognize a position, who don't understand the hierarchy of who this is, and trying to make it a common relationship is so infuriating. God is not our equal. He's calling us into a relationship, but He is not on our level. He's actually even calling us to a new, higher level, but it still is not at His level. God is calling us into a relationship that is significant. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to us. Approachable means to be invited in. That the master of the story in Luke chapter 14 was desperately desiring that people would come to his banquet. He was inviting in people. And so the last couple weeks, that's what we've been challenging ourselves to do, is to speak this good news that we've received, to share this with our friends and family, to sit around the table and express what God has done in our lives. As He's invited us into His life, we so invite others into our lives. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, there's a story of David and Jonathan. Jonathan is the son of King Saul, who has made himself an enemy against David. No matter what good or kindness David tries to bring to Saul, Saul is an antagonist to David. Literally trying to destroy and take his life, David continues to try to give honor, let God take Saul's life and lead it in the direction that it was to go. And David and Jonathan become best of friends. David and Jonathan make this pledge with one another. Says, you must never stop showing kindness to my family, even when the Lord has destroyed all your enemies from the earth. And so Jonathan made an agreement with David, this loving, brotherly friendship pact, to care for one another despite what may happen from King Saul, Jonathan's father, or in David's life as he continues to try to follow God. You know the story that King Saul and Jonathan were both killed in battle, and as that time goes, if a king dies, then his son becomes heir. If the son dies, then the grandson becomes heir. And if somebody is overpowering, if somebody's taking over the throne, then all of their family members, their lives are in jeopardy. And Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was about 5 years old at that time when his father and grandfather died. The attendant was concerned about his life and so quickly scoops him up and they flee the area trying to save his life, though David had no intent to kill Saul's remaining relatives. And the story is that as they were fleeing, the young boy was dropped and both his legs were broken in such a way that he was never able to walk again. Scripture says that he was lame in the legs for the rest of his life. A few years later, David is remembering his relationship with Jonathan, remembering this promise to care for the family. And so he asks, is there anyone in this family that I may be able to show love and care for? And a report is made. The answer comes back. There is one. It is this lame boy. And David's response in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 4 says, "Where is this son? Bring him that he may live in my house and eat at my table." As David invites in this young boy who is now without resource or position or power, so God invites us in to be a part of his banquet, to be a part of his fellowship, without power, without position. He invites us in. Romans chapter 5 reminds us that God demonstrates his love to us while we were still sinners. This approachability of God is not something that we earn. It's not something that we have gained in position, that somehow we were of noble birth or strong enough in our power or position that we were able to knock on the door and invite ourselves in for a meal with God. No, while we were still enemies, God demonstrates his love for us. Approachable means that you're going to humble yourself. And I want you to understand what God does. To be an approachable God, that he desires a relationship with you and I, with all of his creation, so much so that he sent his one and only Son to become a man, to become human in form, not just a human, to become a servant, and not just a servant of a lowly position, but a servant who was dedicated, who was purposed, who was planned to give his life in a humiliating fashion. God humbles himself to make him more approachable. I wonder if we recognize the very nature of who God is. In just a moment, we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 2, the story of God coming in the form of mankind as an infant child. That is a lowly position. But approachable also means that we are going to be lifting up. While that queen comes into a position and her relationship with this woman who is going through a hard time might build her up and encourage her, that absence of approachability of a relationship does not inspire, it does not connect. But God's desire is that we are lifted up, that we are brought together, that we are united as family. And this approachability that God offers to each and every one of us, though the world continues to tell us that we are distant, that God is not caring, that God does not involve, his scripture, his history continues to say just the opposite. He cares. Jesus says, "If I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me." Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if that weren't the case, I would have told you. But I desire that you be where I am." God's desire for a relationship is so true to the very nature of who he really is, that his approachability then becomes empowering. It equips us for our life and for our work, for our position. I want to hear just a few things that Scripture tells us about what our relationship with Christ offers us. Again, this is not because I have become someone noteworthy or special or earning or deserving. Not that you are valuable enough that you could pay your way in to a place with God, but that he has opened the door. He has humbled himself. He invites you in. He lifts you up. And now he empowers you. And listen to what he says. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you are beyond condemnation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, you are near to God. Colossians 1, verse 13, you are a member of his kingdom. Romans 8, 15, you are adopted into his family. Ephesians 2, verse 18, you have access to God at any time. His word continues to say that I want to be near you. I want you to be with me. I care about you. I'm drawing you in. And we continue to hear just the opposite of what is going on. He lifts us up to something new. He invites us in to something that is real. He connects with us in a way that should change our lives. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says that He will never abandon us. Scripture reminds us that we are so much a part of Christ. He says that I am the vine and you are the branches. There is an integral connection right there. He says that you are a stone in the building that He is building. You are a bride for the groom. You are a priest in this new generation. You are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. You want to talk about approachability from an Almighty. He says, I want to live in your hearts today. But yet, we somehow miss all that God really has intended for us. This season, I want us to see who God really is. God is so much more than what we're just told. Even at this time, as the world reflects on the nativity, this birth of Christ, I want us to see beyond that. I want to see into that. I want us to recognize the nature of God, that in that moment, He is inviting us in to approach His throne, to be with Him in person. The infant Christ helps us to understand that God is approachable. That God is inviting us in. Think about this for just a moment. The story of Christ's birth. If you were in Luke chapter 2, follow along with me as we read this passage. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, tells a story that we might be familiar with of the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone on them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, that you will find the baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to those on whom His favor rests.' And so those shepherds, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby that was lying in the manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The very nature of God's presence, the first moment, God is calling people to Him. And when they come, these lowly shepherds, when they are in the presence of even the infant Christ, they are blown away by His glory and presence. They can only walk away in worship and in praise. Notice that again, from the moment Christ arrives, He's inviting people to come into His life. There is a magnificent request. And as they honor that, as they participate in that, they can only walk away worshiping and praising God. In Matthew chapter 2, the story is told similarly, but on the opposite side were these three wise men. Starting in chapter 2, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who had been born king of the Jews?' On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The infant Christ makes God approachable. And as we approach God, we see that He is worthy of worship. He is above all things, even in this most lowly state of a helpless child. But the story of God does not end right there. The man Christ, he speaks about God's invitation for relationship, for a relation with one another. The story of Christ as a man, he continues to offer and to hold out this invitation of approachability, and we see time after time after time, person after person, position after position, of resource, of influence, of whatever is able to come into the presence of Jesus Christ. And they walk away most often with their life changed. The crucified Christ. Not only was he a man who spoke invitation, but his crucifixion, this horrible death, speaks of his humility, of God's desire to go all the way to express his love and desire to humanity. This is not just a plan. This is not just an idea, but this is something that they're going to act out. They're going to live through. They are going to endure so that you will be drawn to him. And the resurrected Christ speaks of lifting us up, each and every one, so that there is an opportunity to be in the throne room with God, surrounded by believers of all generations, of every place and tribe, of nation, of language, of color, of background, of history, of whatever, all are going to be drawn into this presence of God. So from the very beginning of the infant child, to even his resurrection, God continues to put forth a desire that we could approach him, that we could come to him, that we could be with him. This morning, as you go out from this place, I pray that you will remember that this is good news. That God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. He's not counting our sins against us. He's not counting sins against you. I pray that you will know that God loves you, that God desires to forgive you, that God is not angry with you, that He promises that He will never leave you or leave you alone. The blessing of God Almighty is this, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit desire in oneness to be with you so that your life may be transformed. In all of this, as they continue to lift us up and empower us into a new way of life, just brings honor and glory right back to them. For our God is a great God who opens the doors and calls all of mankind into his presence. What a wonderful message that is. But so often our world will say just the opposite, that our God is not approachable, that our God is not alive. We stand today to say that our God is mighty to save, that our God is mighty and alive, that our God is alive in us. This morning we remember that God is approachable. But if you don't feel that way, if you haven't been living that way, I want to let you know that our shepherds are right here, standing in the back in just a moment as we sing this song. They want to be with you, to help you, to encourage you, to counsel you, to pray with you, to show you some scriptures so that we can have our eyes open to see that God really is calling us into a relationship. This morning, if we are feeling the distance and disconnect, may this be the last time May we not walk out of here alone and isolated, overcome and burdened. But as even a newborn baby draws us to pick him up and hold him in the arms, so God desires for us to draw near to him so that he can be near to us. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take